I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
this
evil.
This record-breaking cold and those icy roads, factors the campaigns cannot control, though all of them are working to make sure their supporters at least have reliable transportation to get to their caucus sites tomorrow night.
Can't sit home. If you're sick as a dog, you say, darling, I gotta make it. Even if you vote and then pass away, it's worth it.
One of the things that's been so stunning to me is the crazier things he says, the more people seem to embrace him, according to these Des Moines Register polls.
It's good to be an underdog, so we're going to do well. But I'd rather have people count us out. I'd rather have people lower expectations for us.
I think second place only matters if Donald Trump's under 50. I don't know how relevant second place is anymore. Second place is only looks as good as how many percentage points under 50 Trump
is. So the money train is still flowing and going. Are you worried, though?
We actually have a large fundraiser on the 30th of January at a New York City where we're raising a tremendous amount of money. Believe it or not, a number of it coming from Democrats.
January 15th, I need each and every one of you to get out, everybody, you get out, just get out and vote. You got to bring your friend. You know, we say plus 10, so plus 10 or plus 2 or plus 20, but bring them all out because we have to set the stage for November.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily live from Washington, D.C. Today is January 15th, 2023, Anno Domini. Folks, we got a massive day today ahead of us. We've got the Iowa caucus, which will be taking place in about 7 hours' time. Blizzard whiteout conditions. We know they're on the ground in Iowa. We are expecting full Trump domination, and we're going to be going down to the field. We're going to be talking to Real America's Voice correspondents that are there scattered throughout the state, just like scattered snow showers and snowstorms throughout the state. Then, of course, we're also going to bring in Rich Barris. He's going to walk us through some of this polling. We will see. We will see the $150 million that has been spent by the anti-Trump candidates. These candidates like DeSantis. These candidates like Nikki Haley. Vivek Ramaswamy, who was also running against Donald Trump in the primary and in this caucus. And I think that a lot of people just kind of found that out, that this sort of, you know, the friendly, I don't know what you want to call it, the friendly relations between the two camps have been torn asunder over the past 24, 48 hours. But one of the things that's also going on right now is today is the federal holiday of Martin Luther King Day. And of course, Charlie Kirk and myself have launched a blistering criticism of Martin Luther King and specifically the 60s CRM, the civil rights movement, the legacy of the CRM enshrining in a mandatory system at the federal level, race consciousness and racial discrimination, which has been executed as anti-white racism. Do you want to know why it is that you have to mark your race every time you apply for anything in this country, for a job, for a scholarship, for school? Well, that's because of the 60s and the civil rights movement signed into law by LBJ. LBJ, who said, and I can't even say his actual quote here on the show, but I will say that LBJ said the reason that he signed all of these laws was not, I say again, was not in order to bring about equality. It was to get black people to vote Democrat for the next 200 years. But the word that he used for black people was not a word that we're allowed to say on this network, and certainly not a word that I would just use in my regular life. Look, at the end of the day, we have to understand where these CRT radicals come from, the legal institutions, the illegal enshrinement in law. And at the end of the day, I'll basically say it like this. If we are going to make the 60s sacred, and Blake Neff and I did the special on the 1960s, then they need the saint. And the saint of the 60s is Martin Luther King. We don't talk about his personal life. We don't talk about his academic plagiarism, where he stole the entire work of another student when he put it in for his doctorate. And at the end of the day, they'll say, oh, well, it was a nonviolent movement. Even Compact Magazine is attacking Charlie and myself today, saying that it was a nonviolent movement. Really? Go tell the people that lived in those cities along the East Coast, that lived in Detroit, that lived in Chicago, that the 60s were nonviolent. When you had snipers up on the roof for an entire week in Newark shooting white people and saying that we have to get them out. Tell me that they were nonviolent. Tell me that it was a nonviolent movement that enshrined racial discrimination and race consciousness into the federal bureaucracy, because that's the real legacy of the 1960s. And I'll simply ask it this way. Are any of those cities or any of those communities better than they were before the 1960s? By any metric, and if you can find for me any metric by which inner cities are better now than they were by the 60s, I will fall on my sword. Rich Barris comes up next, Human Events Daily. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily. I mean, you look at this, folks. The 60s Immigration Act, the LBJ Great Society programs, the LBJ's CRA planted the seeds for the current destruction. Decided that our Declaration of Independence and the American Founding, just it wasn't quite good enough. No, we needed a new founding in the 1960s to create the new America. So if you look around and you ask questions about why things are the way they are, if you ask questions about what went wrong, especially when you look at those old videos of what New York City used to look like, especially, by the way, including Harlem, the Harlem Renaissance of the 1930s, and you'll ask, wait, it looked like things were going well. The answer, my friends, is actually the 1960s, because you really get the end of World War II, 1945, you have the post-war movement, then it really ramps up when LBJ gets in office. And oh, we've done some interesting episodes with Roger Stone about how exactly it was that LBJ went into office. And you know, do you know what JFK once said about his vice presidential running mate? He once said to his wife, Jackie, who recorded it later in 8 hours of interviews that she conducted after JFK's assassination, she said, Jack Kennedy, that's what he called himself, and just like me, I'm a John who goes by Jack, so he was a John who went by Jack. He said, Jack used to say, imagine what would happen if Lyndon became president. Did I see, do we have Rich guys? Do we have Rich Barris? Oh, okay. Thought I saw him pop up there for a second. Now, look, folks, it's really what it comes down to, that this has been an operation to destabilize our country and to undermine the founding from the start, literally from the start. And I get it. People say, oh, but Poso and Charlie, it's very, you know, it's very, very upsetting. It's very, very upsetting to people for you to criticize something that's so popular. I know. I remember all the way back on May 29th, 2020, when I watched the George Floyd, Derek Chauvin video, and I said, you know, that doesn't look like murder to me. That doesn't look like someone who's being killed. That looks like an overdose. That looks like an overdose from some kind of drugs. We later found out it was fentanyl. Derek Chauvin, not an EMT, waited for EMTs, had a suspect who was being completely resistant to arrest, refused to simply sit down in the chair, all right? And I said that, and I got pilloried at the time for saying that about George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. And I said, Derek Chauvin didn't murder George Floyd. And we remember what happened, and BLM, and the Ukraine war, and Zelensky, and all of these things that are so popular, the vaccines that we're not allowed to criticize. Well, you know what, folks? If something's true, it's important to say. rather than let a lie stand. So I'm not going to let my children believe lies, and I will not allow this program to spread lies either. Do we have Rich Barris?
I'm here, brother.
Rich, what's going on, man? Look, we're looking at Iowa. You've seen the final polls. You've seen the final polls. We've been talking about 2024 for so long. It's finally here. Iowa, a little bit adjacent to the Rust Belt. You've said before that it's Rust Belty, right? It's not quite the Rust Belt.
Yeah.
Tell us, you were in the field with Big Data Poll. You've been reading all the other polls. What did you find from the voters of Iowa?
Just a real quick update on the poll that we released on Friday. We had a phase out Christie over Saturday and Sunday. Probably won't publish, you know, like a whole new thing. It's really not that much of a change. 40% of Christie's voters went to Nikki Haley. 10% roughly went to DeSantis. 10% roughly went to Vivek. And the others said they're not going to caucus. So this idea that, you know, in New Hampshire, for instance, you know, Christie voters are just going to superimpose on a Nikki Haley is just not true. And then also, I suspect that's the case in New Hampshire, because when we looked at them, Jack, they're not Republican voters. They're very different. They're like a piece of Never Trump who really moved to Democratic Party. Never Trump or still Republican, but really Democrats who don't have a contest to participate in, who intend on voting for Nikki Haley or was Chris Christie, just to kind of try to stick it to Trump and stop Trump. I don't think, again, we're looking at a state like Iowa. This is where we're at. All the other polls very clearly. You had Emerson out last night. The Seltzer poll out on Saturday. Everyone followed our lead. You know, Nikki Haley had edged into second place, and now it's a textbook for second. It's a textbook example of momentum versus so-called organization. And we're going to see how good that organization is for Ron DeSantis in a few hours. The problem with it is, Jack, the bottom line is, it doesn't matter how good your organization is if you don't have the support. And we spoke over the weekend to a lot of people who told us that 6 months ago, 5 months ago, 3 months ago, they had signed commitment to caucus cards for Ron DeSantis and now plan on voting or caucusing for Trump, or most of them were now Trump voters. The president and nobody else coming close. So watch for the media spin. But, you know, I think our poll and other polls are very clear. It's not really a contest.
So basically what you found was that these people who were watching on those early numbers when they were committing in, they're saying, and they've shifted over. And so a lot of these commit to caucus, and people know, like, look, it's a long system. I don't want to get completely into it. It is a complicated system, but the idea that they're counting those as, you know, committed caucus goers, but they've actually switched over. And Rich, if you've talked to any of them or just anyone in general, can you tell us, you know, what are some of the things that you're hearing just in the raw data, in some of the raw statements that you're getting out of these types of voters?
One woman from Sioux City, which is a very important area for Ron DeSantis. They're more educated evangelicals there. You know, just felt like she was so cute. She was just like, I signed those cards, but I'm sorry, it just isn't what, you know, I thought that I was going to go with him, and he just didn't. He lost his authenticity with MAGA, and now he's struggling to find a lane with people like her, and now he's struggling to find a lane because he was trying to be MAGA for so long that the Never Trump wing doesn't believe him. So he's like a guy without a home at this moment. And a lot of the people did frankly tell us that the only, you know, I don't know how to put it, but this is the problem these candidates have had all along and ever since the indictments. Republican primary voters like her and others who were giving DeSantis a look before the indictments really just believe that if the deep state, the administrative state, if donors, if big media, if any of these entities are allowed to pick the nominee or influence the process in any way, then they've already lost. It doesn't matter if Ron DeSantis is the nominee, and hell, if he wins the presidency. It doesn't matter if Nikki Haley is the nominee. You, as a Republicans, as the party, as the movement, you've already lost, because now you have taken something from you. You know, so they want Trump, and it's not the role of any of these other entities to try to deny them that or to do. And it really comes down to that. And they don't feel that anyone other than him would be victory. And I don't know how much more you know, blatant. I can explain that to the non-Trump people out there.
Well, look, I've seen just some anecdotally, I've seen from some of the, you know, just these rallies when some of the media covered this is finally coming out. And they're hearing the same responses that you've been saying on this program for a year now. They do not care about the blizzard. They don't care about the whiteout conditions. Okay, the polar vortex. This, there was one woman who said, I think it was NBC, she said, I will crawl over broken glass to vote for this guy. You had kid, and then you had kids coming out saying, these 16-year-olds saying, look, we're not even that into politics, but we like Trump. We don't even know how the caucus works. And that, I would argue, and it's something, by the way, that you said as well, those are non-traditional voters. Those are people that Trump has reached out to through his embrace, a totally unorthodox embrace of non-traditional media, of going on sports media, of doing the sport, the UFC, doing all these events, doing all these podcasts out there on that circuit, when he was being criticized for not following the traditional route. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, you know what? All of the people that he was trying to reach out to, as you said so many times, the non-traditional voter, the low propensity voter, the zero propensity voter, it sounds like he's hitting his exact target. 2 minutes, Rich Barris.
First-time caucus goers, the percentage that said that they would show up did fall from last month, but it fell from like a ridiculously high number, 45%, to a little over 35%. Trump wins 61% of first-time caucus goers. I thought we were a little bit high when it came to the evangelical vote preference, but look, you can see it in the Iowa State University poll, which, by the way, has been more accurate than the Des Moines Register poll, okay? They have a similar margin that we do. 56 to 60% of evangelicals are voting for Trump. The Emerson College, 56% for Trump that are evangelical, or 53% are voting for Trump or non-evangelical. Trump is ahead with every single demographic. People, how it's more than just a poll miss that would be necessary here for your dreams to come true. It would have to be, we're all wrong about vote preference and we modeled it wrong. Not just that we modeled it wrong, because pollsters can miss by modeling, you know, making assumptions about turnout, Jack. But it is very rare that you're that far off with vote preference. It's only a matter of what the margin is for Trump tonight. That's what it comes down to. And yes, his all voters right, are going Barris- to vote.
Final minute here. Where can people go to follow you throughout the day? I know we're going to be doing a live stream later on Rav. Charlie, we'll try to get you on.
Yeah, best place to follow me and what we're doing over there, Jack, is peoplespundit.locals.com. And of course, Locals is where we keep an eye out for that latest spread. We put out a projection spread per candidate. Keep an eye out. You'll get it there first.
Big day, folks. The front lines in the war against globalism. Today is the day in snowy Iowa where we begin to fight back against the regime.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
Folks, the world is in flames. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster. But it can't and it won't ruin my day. And do you know why? It's because I start my day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% America and 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, I love blackout coffee. When I was working this morning, we had some snow. We had some snow at home. Tanya Tate comes over to me. Boom. Huge mug of the stuff. Hands it to me, powers the day, powers this show. On a day like this, when we know we're going to be up late, we know we're going to be waiting for those results to come in, you must go and have that power too. Go to blackoutcoffee.com/poso and use promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. Check out all the gear section there for incredible gift ideas for the holidays or for just whatever else is coming up. I know Valentine's Day is coming up, ladies and gentlemen. blackoutcoffee.com/poso, promo code POSO20. Be awake, not woke. Want to go now to the Des Moines Convention Center. We have got Michelle Backus. We have got Kalen Dorr. Guys, tell me what is going on in the field. What's it like in there? Is it a cold inside? Yeah, I guess you're not bundled up, so it must be a little warmer inside.
Yeah, Jack, it is definitely cold outside. Inside, I don't know, Kalen. I still feel a chill, but you have your jacket on.
It's just our cold, cold hearts as we've got to watch the DEI election unfold. If by inclusion we mean people who eat their own boogers and neocons, we're very cold-hearted for having to watch this through, Jack.
Well, so tell me what's the sense on the ground? This is the area where it's going to be the Trump kind of the headquarters later tonight, the party, what's going on. What's the mood going in today? Do people feel anxious? Do they feel exuberant? Do they, you know, what are they saying?
Yeah, people are excited. In all honesty, we all know this is a race for second place. It's just a matter of how much Trump is going to win tonight. Here, even talking with the Trump team, people are very excited, very eager, not really any anxiousness. Cold. Definitely still cold. I think the biggest question this weekend was, are people still going to come out and caucus, especially with that cold weather and the ice on the roads? And, you know, as we had mentioned earlier, Trump said his supporters will crawl on broken glass for him. Today, they're crawling on ice to get to him. You know, those doors open and you're going to see a bunch of Trump supporters. I'd said it before, for every one DeSantis sign, and mind you, he spent a lot of resources here in the state, I see about three Trump signs. So that's just any indication of what's going on here in Iowa.
Yeah, Jack, the question that's looming and people are asking each other here is whether or not DeSantis is even going to finish in the top two. I think this is something that we're going to see develop. He's clearly not handled this week with grace. I think we watched him kick a guy in a wheelchair out of a rally last night. You know, they're sparsely attended events, so we're eager to see how far he might fall. I'm curious to hear your take on that. What's your prediction tonight?
You know, I honestly think that tonight is going to be a rude awakening for a lot of these people who have put so much money and so much time and effort into these candidates when we didn't need to do this, okay? We didn't need to have this knockdown, drag-out fight over the past year. And if there's anything that 2023, I think, has taught us, it's that this party believes, okay, the Republican Party believes, and whether you like Trump or not, but the people of the party, the voters of the party, believe that there is something that he has over these other candidates, and it's called simply unfinished business. It's unfinished business from his time as president, his unfinished business from the time when he was basically blocked from executing any of his presidency or getting any of his initiatives off the ground because he was completely bogged down by the Mueller indictment and the nullification process, Mueller investigation, let's say. He wasn't indicted in that. But it's this idea that the people of that, specifically the Midwest, specifically this part of the country, who have been so overlooked, right? They're like, oh, you guys don't even have an NFL team. You don't matter, huh? You don't even have, you know, a major airport. I guess you're just like, not, you know, lower class, second tier Americans. That actually, no, this was a political program that was done to them. And through them, they view Donald Trump as a way to get back out of it. Are you hearing that type of sentiment?
Yeah, no, 100%. And his message is really resonating, you know, with average Iowans. You got to remember, he's running with a track record. I know you know this, Jack, but he's done more for Iowans and a lot for farmers, you know, via trade and actually, you know, putting an America First trade and policy economic agenda, right? No one in the country felt this more than Iowans. They saw their crops protected from China and so on and so forth. So it's definitely been a topic. We've been hearing that in a lot of border security. I think people don't feel safe either financially or, you know, in their own homes. And it's come up ad nauseum here. I don't know, Michelle, if you've heard anything else.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing too, right? Trump can speak on his track record. The other candidates have never been in office like this. We look at everything that Trump has done for the Midwest, for Americans in general. We saw strong leadership. Americans are sick of having weak leadership over the past 4 years. I mean, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for us against other countries. It's embarrassing what's going on at our wide open borders right now. I think everyone is sick of it. And you know, speaking of the borders, Iowa is not a border town. But as we all know, those states in the Midwest are now feeling the effects of these immigration policies and what the Biden administration has done to Americans.
Well, I think that's right. I want to go segue, guys, because we also have David Zier, Tara Dahl, waiting for us on there. Now, they're across town. They're at another section, another one of these caucuses. Guys, tell us, where are you at? What's the mood?
It's exciting here, Jack. People are coming in. Don Jr. and Kimberly Guilfoyle are about to speak. We are in Ankeny, Iowa right now, and they are going to be speaking in about 40 minutes here at this location. We're in Whiskey River Bar, and the crowd is coming out. I mean, you have it's the coldest day in caucus history, Jack, and yet people are coming out and they're excited and they're going to be out caucusing tonight, and the majority of the people that we've talked to are caucusing for Donald Trump.
You know, and Jack, we're in Ankeny, Iowa. It's one of the only red areas of Des Moines, which is in Zach Nunn's 3rd Congressional District, stretching from the Des Moines area all the way to Council Bluffs west to Nebraska. About 150,000 voters today will be coming out and making a decision for the caucuses. And there's reasons for the caucus other than just choosing the presidential nomination, to elect the local precinct, committee men, and people going to the commission, to the convention for the state here. But it's interesting what's going to happen. There's about 2,000 Republicans in Ankeny, and we are here with Joe Ramirez, who's great. He's the owner of the Whiskey River Bar and restaurant, and truly great, great people. The rest of the state is more red. You go up into the Northwest, you've got 40% of the GOP voters just in the 4th Congressional District. So this is like a +2, +3, +4 Republican area, whereas in the Northwest it's +16. So these votes count here. Every vote counts.
And so when we talk about every vote counting, you know, you've been talking to voters, you've been talking to the committee captains, the committed to caucus for Trump and the other candidates. Tell me, what are you hearing from the people that are going to take part in the caucus tonight? What are some of the issues? And really, you know, does it seem like the Trump support that we're seeing in these polls? This has been the big question, right? You know, are the polls fake? I saw the DeSantis supporters were actually conducting and paying for their own polls based on AI and all of this stuff. Look, you guys are on the ground. Give me the ground truth.
No, I mean, the number one and two issues are the economy first and then the border. Even though, you know, it's not a border state here in Iowa, but this is the crossroads of human trafficking because it has the major interstates 35 and 80 that cross here in Iowa, making Iowa very impacted by human trafficking, by what's going on the border. The governor had sent down the National Guard and law enforcement just a couple months ago to help Governor's Operation Lone Star, Texas, the border operation in Texas. So Iowa's very much impacted. From 20 to 22, they had a 500% increase in fentanyl seizures in Iowa. They also had a 35% increase in drug-related deaths in Iowa. So the border is directly impacting Iowa. And when you talk to people, that's what they say. They say it's first their pockets, right? The high prices of groceries. But it's the border.
You know, Jack, this is strong ground game here for the Trump campaign. They have over 2,000, or their target was 2,000 precinct caucus captains here, and they had about 40,000 plus pledges. I was at campaign headquarters last week, and it was truly phenomenal, their operation. DeSantis has a strong ground game, too, but it's not translating at the polls. And I caught up with Jason Miller yesterday, and he said things are looking very good for President Trump. A grassroots organization is well-organized. Volunteers are out in force and supportive, and they have the energy and the excitement. Their caucus captain operation is going to be very effective. So they're very confident here, and I think it'll show tonight.
Well, that's amazing. And we've got some of these stunning images. I think, is that live? Is that a live shot that's outside right now? Okay. I mean, you look at this, or this is the line. This is the line to get in from yesterday. I think, I mean, you look at how cold it is. And look, I'm not there right now. I had some flight issues, but so I'm still here in DC, but I remember being there for the 2020 caucuses, and there is something about that Iowa cold. It is, I mean, it just goes straight to the bone. And that's because, I mean, there's no mountains out there. It's very flat. You know, there's no high rises. I mean, it just cuts you down. And I really remember that even more than when I was in Michigan or any of the other places. There's something about that Iowa cold that just really, really rips up at you.
Yeah. Jack, I just wanted to add, I was at the Indianola rally yesterday. We got there at 5:30. It was 17 below zero without the wind chill. People still waited online for hours to get in. The Trump campaign did provide buses for people to wait on. But when you got inside, that place was jam-packed to the gills. The largest event of the week for all the campaigns was yesterday, where he had those amazing endorsements. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's cold, Jack. It is, like you said, it is a bone chill, and you feel it, but it's not.
Yes.
I am layered up. As many layers as I can have, I have them on. And I'm inside.
Yeah, Tara, we got to talk to Sig about that. He sends you to the Mediterranean. You're over there in the Middle East. You're nice and warm. But now he sent you straight to Iowa. That's how to make you topsy-turvy. All right. We'll come back later, guys. Stay warm. Go get yourself some chicken tendies, maybe some of that hot pizza that Trump's handing out, folks. It's going to be a long night. But don't worry. Stick here. Real America's Voice. Jack Posobiec, Human Events Daily. We have got it all for you.
And Jack, where's Jack? Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzers.
All right, Jack Posobiec, we are back here, Human Events Daily. The Iowa caucuses are today. The caucuses are going. Voting is still taking place. Of course, we won't have the answers until the wee hours of the night, but you can tune in with myself, Charlie Kirk. I think Steve Bannon will be there, Real America's Voice. Make sure you are tuned in tonight because we will have all the results. And also, of course, the great Tara Dahl is, of course, on the ground. It's snowy Iowa. But for right now, we do have Rabbi Pesach Walicki. He is a columnist for the Jerusalem Post and Israel 365. He joins us today because he wants to talk about how Trump's policies are what's absolutely needed for the Middle East. Rabbi, welcome to Human Events Daily.
Thanks for having me, Jack. It's an honor.
So walk us through this. You know, we've seen really the fruits of Joe Biden's policies. It's going on right now. Myself personally, I look at the Red Sea and I look at my Navy shipmates there that are under fire by the Houthis. Of course, this being one of the key strategic choke points for oil in the Middle East. But I think obviously this is so now you've got the energy policy that's kicked off. That's creating an issue for us. And number two, you've got a military policy and a foreign policy disaster that's led to pretty much the entire Muslim world rising and so many of these forces rising up against the United States. What can we do?
Well, when we go over to the, to the broader picture of the Middle East, when Donald Trump took office, Iran was in the nuclear deal, which Israel has always said threatens its national security. ISIS was on the rise and on the move. There was rampant terrorism in Israel, claiming the lives of about 20 Israeli citizens per year. And Donald Trump came in with policies that are generally referred to as peace through strength. And peace through strength is often misunderstood by people. They think it's just about, like, you know, taking out Soleimani or taking out ISIS and flexing your muscles militarily. But it's actually a much more complex and I would say brilliant foreign policy, which is that Trump took the entire foreign policy establishment about the Middle East and he turned it on its head. And he came in and said, look, instead of trying to achieve peace by coming to an accommodation with your enemies, how about we try to achieve peace by strengthening our friends? And when you strengthen your friends, you encourage more people to be your friends. So Trump comes into office, he makes his first foreign policy speech on foreign soil in Riyadh, strengthening the relationship with the Saudis. Now, the Saudis are no angels, but in the Arab world, they're not interested necessarily in taking down the West. They're interested in monetizing the relationship with the West. I consider them the mafia versus the jihadis. The mafia is interested in making a buck. So the Saudis want a good relationship with the U.S. Donald Trump comes in and says, okay, we're going to strengthen that relationship. We're going to sanction Iran. We're going to pull out of the Iran nuclear deal. We're going to whack ISIS. We're going to tell the Palestinian Authority that it's unacceptable that they're funding terrorism. So Donald Trump signs into law the Taylor Force Act, which is a law that Americans should become familiar with. The Taylor Force Act is, again, a law, not a Trump executive order, not a Trump-era policy, but a law passed by both houses and signed by the President of the United States that calls for a cessation of aid to the Palestinian Authority so long as they give cash payouts to the families of terrorist murderers. That's right. The Palestinian Authority, since its inception, has been making cash payouts to the families of anyone who murders Israelis or really tourists in Israel. So Taylor Force was a U.S. Vet. He was a U.S. military veteran who had served in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was attending Vanderbilt University, and he came to Israel on a trip, and he was murdered by a terrorist. And the Palestinian Authority immediately started paying a stipend to that terrorist's family. So this law got passed, and the Trump administration enforced it. And as soon as that happened, terrorism in Israel started dropping drastically. It went from an average of 20 per year. In 2018, the first year of the enforcement of the Taylor Force Act, it went down to 14. And then in 2019, 11. We're talking about fatalities from terrorism. And in 2020, only 3 fatalities from terrorism in Israel. Terrorism was basically gone. And then the Biden administration comes in, and this is why it's so important people know about the Taylor Force Act. The Biden administration immediately started violating the Taylor Force Act. And since they took power in January of 2021, they have given over $1 billion to the Palestinian Authority, even though the Palestinian Authority continues to pay the families of terrorists. And of course, what happened? Terrorism under the Biden administration has been rising year over year, even before the October 7th attacks. So, and this is just one piece of the puzzle. Basically, the Biden administration came in, they start coddling Iran, they lift sanctions on Iran, enriching them, allowing them to fund terrorism again. They, with a wink and a nudge, tell the Palestinian Authority that it's okay if they fund terrorist families. And of course, the Middle East is now in flames. And under Donald Trump, by strengthening his friends, by strengthening Israel, strengthening Saudi Arabia, strengthening the Emirates, the moderates in the Arab world who did not have an agenda to take down the West, the terrorists were on their back foot, and peace was breaking out everywhere.
That's exactly right. And I remember talking to some friends who were on that trip as well with him, and there was this idea where he took, and remember, ISIS, of course, was the really big regional threat at the time. We don't even talk about ISIS anymore because it's more like was. And it's kind of a joke, but it actually, I always say that it kind of hurt him in 2020 because we didn't have the threat of terrorism anymore because there was no threat. It was gone. He dealt away with it in 1 year. And one of the big pieces of this was to say, look, this is a regional threat for you here in the Middle East. And so you need to deal with this problem as much as us. And then brought all of those Arab world leaders together to say, I'm going to hold you accountable. And then, as you say as well, use the economic leverage, right, with the oil mafia of the cartel in Saudi to say, look, if you guys want this to continue, if you want weapon sales to continue, if any of this other stuff to continue, guess what? You're going to have to take care of the problem that's in your own backyard. And I don't want to have to send American bodies and American lives and spill American blood to deal with it. This is your problem. Clean it up. And there was even talk to go further, and of course this has been totally shelved, but there was an idea of creating sort of and I remember this from when I was an intelligence officer, we had the Gulf Cooperation Council, but the idea was to really take that GCC and turn it into almost an Arab NATO of sort of like-minded, as you say, moderates, to create a military task force that would be able to respond if another ISIS started to break out, or obviously like what we're seeing right now with the Houthis and the attacks that they're committing. Imagine, if you will, that we had a task force that could deal with this type of extremism, and we wouldn't have to rely on these million-dollar missiles, which, of course, by the way, is exactly what their strategy is. They want the United States Navy to have to be depleted of their munitions. They want you to lose all your ammo because that's when they're going to start attacking the flotilla itself and attacking the carrier strike group. We're coming up on a quick break here. Our guest is Rabbi Passat Walicki. He is a columnist with the Jerusalem Post, a columnist with Israel 365. We're walking through geopolitics. We're waiting on the results in Iowa, snowy Iowa, but we've got a lot on the line. The stakes could not be higher. Stay here, Human Events Daily. We're going to work through it all together.
When I'm working long hours, I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Human Events Daily. Remember, 2024, we know going into this that it could become one of the most chaotic and stressful years in history. And that is why staying healthy is so important. This is why I partner with StrongCell, a revolutionary NADH supplement packed with the highest quality ingredients, all geared towards boosting your body's cellular function. I know this might sound confusing, but it's actually pretty simple. If your cells are weak, everything is weak. Think of NADH like fuel for your cells. When your cells are healthy, every aspect of your body will be stronger and work better. That's what StrongCell does. I learned about this product from my dear friend, Charlie Kirk. And now it has taken the nation by storm. I take it every day and it helps to clear out the brain fog. It gives me natural energy and now I am healthier overall. So how do you get it? Go to StrongCell.com or call and discover this life-changing product. Right now, you'll get 20% off your first month's order with promo code POSO at checkout. You are 1 month away from a healthier, stronger life. Go to StrongCell.com or call order by phone. Do not forget, Patriots, use promo code POSO for 20% off. That's StrongCell.com, promo code POSO. All right, folks, we just got a couple of minutes left here today. Want to kick it back to Iowa because I do believe, right, I do believe, and I want to let everybody know, I do believe that Iowa is the front line today. Iowa is where we begin to fight back. Iowa, okay, and there's a lot going on. We know that Davos is happening this very week. That's right, folks. Davos, the World Economic Forum, that's all beginning. That's all taking place in Switzerland. So people asked if I wanted to go over. I could have gone over. I could have gone there, but no. No, Iowa is where it is because it is the normal people, the average people, the regular working people, the men and women that make this country work every day. The people who run this country. Look at this. Look at this line of people. These are the people who terrify the regime. These are the people that we're not supposed to worry about anymore. These are the people that were told, you don't get to have a voice. And the operation that was done to them, the economic dispossession and the disenfranchisement of the middle of this country, the south of this country, the working class people of this country, the same way, and I've said it before, I've said it so many times, and I'll say it on MLK Day, that what happened to our cities was a process of state-sponsored ethnic cleansing. All those riots in the 1960s, no, they were not for justice. They were for kicking people, many of which were immigrants or immigrant households, immigrant neighborhoods from Italy, Poland, and Ireland, for kicking them out of their neighborhoods, pushing them into the suburbs, and then running this operation on them. These are the things that have been done to our country. We can make it back. We can bring it back. We can bring all of it back. You know what, folks? It's not too late. And I hear that all the time. I say, why bother with this? Why, Jack, why are you attacking something that's so popular? Why are you attacking something that's got so much support? Why do you bother? What? Should we just give up? Should I just tell my children that I just gave up? Just go along, go with the flow, do whatever you want. Let the commies win. Who cares? It's hard. The fight is hard. It's too hard. Well, you know something? You don't leave the battleground because battle is risky. You enter the battleground so you can win, because that's the only way to achieve victory. Let me be very clear about something. We are winning. You know, last night I did a town hall, sort of a virtual town hall that Real America's Voice held. I was honored to be able to host this thing with not only the great Alex Jones, but also Roger Stone. General Flynn came on, and this was a huge forum that Real America's Voice put on in order for us to be able to outline some of the threats that are coming. And I'll tell you one that was really big that came out. And we're going to be talking about this more later this week. I know we're going to get into the results tomorrow, but the new push is for what they've called the prevention of Trump to use the Insurrection Act. And I say, well, why would they be trying to prevent Trump from using the Insurrection Act? And well, he said that if he becomes president, or actually he was talking about 2020, he said you could use the Insurrection Act to put down civil unrest. This is what it's for, putting down actual insurrections. In fact, he ordered the military to be present on January 6th. It was Milley and it was others at the Department of Defense and the Pentagon that prevented this. So here's the dirty little secret. When they say a group of military leaders and outside organizations like Mary McCord, this is in NBC News, you can go read it, led by Mary McCord, is trying to put leave behind networks in because they don't want Trump to have the full power of the presidency if and when, and they know it's when, he gets back into office. They're telling you straight up, they will unleash the riots in the cities. The same way they unleashed the riots in the 1960s, in the civil rights era, that ushered in the sainthood of Martin Luther King, the same way they unleashed the riots in the 1980s and the 1990s, and then the same way they unleashed the riots in 2020. They're saying, we are going to do this again. And when we do it, we are not going to allow Trump to have the ability to call in the military. They're trying, okay? They're trying to set him up to fail because they understand that there are trillions of dollars, potentially trillions of dollars at stake from him returning to office. Michelle joined us here for the last minute. She's down there in Iowa, in Des Moines. Michelle, tell us, last minute, send us home. What should people be looking for later tonight as the caucus begins?
Jack, we are looking for records to be broken in terms of President Trump. We've already seen it, right, with the Iowa caucuses and some of that early polling. But right now, it really is a race towards second between DeSantis and Nikki Haley. And I'll tell you what, Jack, if DeSantis does not come in second, which the polling right now suggests he's not going to, I think it's time for him to hang up his shoes or cowboy boots for that instance. It's definitely
hang up the
here.
Boots.
Voter turnout will be crucial. You catch? I was wondering if you'd catch that one.
Of course
one.
You went there. Of course you went there. I have
you
my blackout
what?
Coffee
Coming
this morning,
Michelle.
From a really
Michelle.
Short girl, too. Well, look. You
yeah,
go out
you know,
there. You got your
be
snow
making
boots.
The short jokes.
Is he wearing snow boots with heels right now? Can you get me information on that? Can you get me video? I want you out there. I want you to go out there. You've got to track him down and find out, is Ron DeSantis wearing snow boots with heels? Michelle, I'm tasking you.
That is the golden mission. That is the mission, folks. If anyone else sees it
the
before
golden
me,
please
mission, let me
folks.
Know, because I'll tell you what, I'm not hanging
All
out
right.
at the Ron DeSantis
You've got your
field,
orders.
But, that's the mission.
Carry them out. Move on. Move out. Michelle Backus, we're going to be back later tonight. Real America's Voice. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission. It's the latest voice.